Some things. I just wonder. Well, I wish I could share with you what I see. I can't. I think that's why Paul struggled. Why he would tell the Galatians, "Who's bewitched you?" I know, you know, I've been doing judgment in the house. I know it's about the most unpopular message that anybody could preach on, judgment. Because the way it's given out, you know. Heard a guy talking this morning about how God's going to show up and make no mistake, he's going to start judging everybody. And here I bring you a message about judgment, and I know it's not very popular. Peter's the one said it. I'm just copying what he said. Judgment, now judgment must begin at the house of God, and that doesn't mean, okay, you better get straightened up, or God's going to give you kidney stones. You know, I was talking with a guy the other day of how much God is blamed for everything. I just get so sick of it, you know? 5-year-old gets killed in a car wreck. I guess God needed another angel. That's bull crap. We live in a fallen, stupid world that's full of death. That's why kids are born with defects. That's why people are on drugs. That's why it's a hellacious mess. Not because God needed another stinking angel. I get so sick of it. I mean, I look around and, man, is anybody going to proclaim the gospel? And I know why they can't, because they've never heard the gospel. The gospel's never been proclaimed to him. But then when the gospel is proclaimed to you, you proclaim it to other people. You run them off. You put them to sleep. They go home. They leave. Nobody wants to hear the gospel because the gospel ain't about you. It's about him. I mean, what happened when the gospel showed up here in flesh? Was people singing worship songs? Oh, when he showed up and gives them loaves and fishes, yeah, they were singing worship songs. Ticked everybody else off. They said, make them be quiet. Well, you know what? They've been quiet. Now the cry is crucified. We don't want to have this man ruling over us. And you know what, people today, and I'm telling you to judge your own heart. Paul, let me just read you the scripture. Paul said, if we would judge ourselves, if we would judge ourselves, do you believe that? Well, I judge myself. What the heck does that mean? If we would judge ourselves. I mean, it's right here. 1 Corinthians 11, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many are dead, many stinking funerals. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves. What do you mean? Now, does that mean to go around and judge ourselves? Listen, guys, you can't judge yourselves except you see the Lord. You just cannot. I mean, you judge yourselves according to the only thing you know, and that's right or wrong. Never according to life or death. And we'll sit there in our high seats and say, well, I'm glad I ain't like old Johnny over there. He stays home from church and watches a race. I go to church. I'm a great guy. Baloney. Has nothing to do with any of that. If you would judge ourselves, what is that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. If we would judge ourselves according to that, that only there's only one life, and it ain't yours. I could just remember, what I would read in the scriptures about, you want quail? I'll make quail come out of your nose. And all I can remember singing them songs, and it was so beautiful to me, and I'm a poor wayfaring stranger. Oh, Lord, and a Beulah land, and all these stupid songs that sing about one of these days I'm going to be there. And Paul stepping up saying, guys, do you know you're no longer strangers and pilgrims? Abraham was. Abraham desired to be where you are. He saw it afar off and walked in the faith of it. And you, my friends of the Word of God, have touched and handled and tasted. And it means squat. You think I'm not kidding? Let me read you some scripture. These is on my mind this morning, guys. I'm just throwing it out. Like I said, I got no notes. I know everybody wants to get out. Everybody says long-winded preacher, so I'm going to try to have you out of here in about 15 minutes. I ain't kidding. Everybody's too busy. Jesus spake a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king that made a marriage for a son. Sent forth his servants, called them that were bidding to the wedding. They wouldn't come. Again, he sent forth his servant, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. Do you realize this table is set? You've been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The table is set. Everything's on it. Denise, you know what you say it all the time. But who will come and dine? Who will come and dine? Who will come and eat of his flesh and drink his blood? Who? Got something else to do. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come! Do you believe that? All things are ready? No, we don't, because stupid preachers get up and say, one of these days it's going to be ready. And we've bought it hook, line, and sinker. You know, I heard the other day, believe this or not, Donald Trump's Antichrist. 8 years ago, I heard Obama was the Antichrist. Then I heard George Bush was the Antichrist. Then I heard Bill Clinton was the Antichrist. And then I heard George Bush, his daddy was the Antichrist. I heard Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist. And without a doubt, Jimmy Carter was the Antichrist. If you don't believe that, I mean, we can go all the way back to Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy and every single one of them. Why do people listen to that crap? I can get up here and tell you you've been translated into the kingdom of heaven. By the blood of the Lamb, the richest blood that ever could be shed. One of these days, we're hoping God's going to bless us. My foot. The King of the universe has already given you the most precious gift he could ever give. His blessed Son. And his Son lives in you. When will you turn to see? When will you turn to see him? When will this be the number one priority? When will it be, I have to see this son? Nothing else matters if I don't see him. Instead of buying it, one of these days, let me tell you something. Whatever you have that's hindering you, what is it that's hindering you? My God, we're just like children that running into the marketplace and somebody toots a horn and we turn to see it. And our attention is so easily gotten. Paul said, you know what, guys, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He wasn't permitted to look anywhere else. When are we going to become prisoners of the Lord? We don't like that word. We don't like the word judgment. We don't like the word prisoner. We want to be our own guy. That's what this age is, and we want to be our own people. We want to be the people that sit up here and know what love is, and love is, oh, God loves you no matter what. I heard all them stinking messages. You know what they ended up being to me? Nothing. Really, because I woke up in Indiana in a world of crap. And I began to question some things. You know, we were talking about this Wednesday. I go to a funeral of a 22-year-old that's blown the back of his head off. I began to question some things that God needed an angel. And this was God's will. Everybody who said that, guys, I'm just being honest. You know me, I'm up here in a daggone white shirt and blue jeans. I want to punch him in the mouth for saying that. Quit blaming my Heavenly Father for that. I get so tired of it. It does wreak up a passion inside of you. Because I began to see the love of God, and I knew the love of God wasn't in all these things. God didn't need to test me. That, you know, we were talking how stupid it is, like Zach and Morgan, and I would say, you know what? Before I can bring them into the marriage supper, before I can bring them in to eat at my table, I need to test them. Put them in some hellfire and see if they'll manage up, you know. See, that is so stupid. I mean, you know, guys, I went up there in Indiana and I lost everything. Do you think that was God taking stuff away from me? No, it was me not paying my stinking bills. Let me tell you something, guys. You don't pay your car payment, they come and get it. It ain't God getting it, Derek. It's the bank. That's the truth. You know that, Kathy. That's the truth. Why are we so busy when there's nothing else? You listen, guys, you were created for one purpose. You were created for one purpose. You may be a mommy, you may be a daddy, you may be a grandpa, you may play music, you may work on a railroad, you may do this, but you were created for one purpose. That was to be filled with His Son. Now, if we could do those other things out from that being filled with His Son, walking in that acknowledgement. See, that's the way Paul went about. He walked in that acknowledgement. He walked in that revelation. He walked in that light. And it's given to you to walk in that light, even as He is a light. My fatlings are killed. All things are ready. But they made light of it. They went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up those cities. Then saith to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find bid to the marriage. Those servants went to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished. The wedding was furnished with guests. My God, I read the book of Revelation. I see we're next to the last chapter. He showed me the bride, the Lamb's wife, coming down from God out of heaven. My God, those people desire to be in our day. They desire to be in our day. They desired to walk. Listen. I'm in Ephesians 2. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You realize, guys, they didn't have access to the Father? They didn't have access. What do you mean? That was a veil up. That was a veil up that says you can't come any farther. One time a year, the high priest went in with the blood for himself and the blood of others. But could you imagine praying to a curtain? That's what they did. Pray to a curtain. Pray to a curtain. But let me tell you what, every one of that nation showed up. And let me tell you something, guys. When it come down time to the feast, here's what God told them. He said, if they don't show up, cast them in outer darkness. Get them out of here. Bid every male to come. Everyone to come. And if they don't come, get them out of here. Now we think, ain't we so glad we don't live in the law day. Hey, we read that if they perished in that day under two or three witnesses, how much more now? How about now if we neglect so great a salvation? So great a salvation. If we neglect the very Christ that lives in us. See, they prayed to a curtain because to them God was right there. He wasn't afar off. He was there, but they had no access to Him. Now you have access. Why do we have access? I mean, here's the day, Christianity Day message is so that God can make me rich, isn't it? Such baloney. Such baloney. Heard him praying this morning. Let us all agree. Let us all pray together. God, I want to get everything that you've bought and purchased for me. So pitiful. Might as well. And listen, guys. We think this is ugly. But they spat in Jesus' face. They spat in His face. They're still spitting in His face today. Still spitting in my Savior's face today because we want things instead of Him. Jesus, you just go to the side. God, I want what you've given me. I want my mansion. I want my golden street cloud. I want my own wings. I want to be an angel. I want to be a flower in God's flower pot. The streets of heaven. My Lord and my God, Kathy drives me up the wall. They haven't seen the beauty of my Savior. Have you seen Him? I'm asking you, have you seen this Jesus? Because He's unveiled. The Scriptures tells us, Patty, there's no veil on Him any longer. There was a veil on Him at one time. They didn't know who He was. He had to ask them, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Some say they are Elias. Some say they are Jeremiah. But who do you say that I am? And let me tell you something. Oh, He's Jesus. He's King of Kings. Unless the Father reveals that to you, you don't know it. It's just lip service. There's a people professing me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I'm asking you, have you seen Him? If you haven't, I'm begging you to turn your hearts to see Him, because God's only desire is not to make you a flower in His flower pot, to make you rich, but to see His riches in glory. And that's all summed up in a man. God's desire is to reveal His Son in you. No other desire, guys. No other desire. But through Him we have access. Yes. To seek mercy. Oh, God, have mercy on my soul. No. Mercy is a man, and He's got a name, Jesus of Nazareth. I'm seeking mercy. I want to know what mercy is. He'll show you His Son. I want to know what love is. Is love being good to people? Is love hugging people and tying their shoes and buying them Christmas presents? I want to know what love is. Oh, come and see love. He has a name. A name that's above every name. We have access. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers, foreigners. Can you imagine that? What was our election based on? What was one of the biggest things there was? Immigration. Right? When when the election was over, people started rioting and worried about their what? Citizenship or lack of. It is a concern. But God's people don't even know their citizenship. They're down here in this world. And they don't know they don't even have a green card. They're natural born. I don't walk around with a green card. And you don't either. I don't walk around with a card that says I'm born again. My God, we are very body of the one who is the embodiment of the new creation. My foot don't need an identification card that says it's part of Jim Moore. Does it? It's just a part of me by mere union. No more strangers. Maybe living in this world, but not of this world. Do you see, guys, what you've been given? What has been purchased? What has been purchased, God, is not something for you. You've been purchased. You have been bought with a price. Yes. God looked out on all those souls and says, dear son, those are yours. That is your body right there. And he went and he bought all of that. You're his. You don't own him. He owns you. Yeah. My foot don't step up to my head and say, man, I'm glad I own this body. No, it just is part of this body, governed by the head, which he is. Yeah. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. No more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. People wear their necklaces with Saint so-and-so on it. This tells me I'm a fellow citizen. Saint Christopher and all them other saints. You know why I'm a saint? You know why you're a saint? Because of that little thing called a cross, that little thing called a judgment, that little thing that brought separation, that little thing that blood and that water flowed out of that little man's side that hung on that cross right there made me a saint. And it had never anything to do with what I do or what I don't do. We were talking the other day. Listen, guys, people say he's going to come and judge you according to the work, to your works. If his cross didn't overdo my works, we're all in bad shape. But when he hung on that cross with them arms spread out and when he was nailed to that thing, if that didn't outdo every work I could ever do, Roger, we're doomed, we're up the creek. Thinking that my work could outdo what he did on that cross is pitiful. Now come and die. The supper's ready. The oxen's killed. The calves is killed. They're slain. They're laid out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the judgment, guys. This is the judgment that says there is nothing else. This is what we've been talking about with Abraham, who came out of that land of his kindred, land of his countrymen, land of everything he knew. Brought over here into the promised land. Into a land that flowed with milk and honey. Do you guys believe that this land flows with milk and honey? Right now? It does. Because he is the milk and honey of it. So much so, I read about a guy named Jonathan that honey was just laid on the ground. And he just took his staff, Clyde, and just dipped his staff down into that and just ate. And when he ate of that, his eyes were open. His eyes were open. You mean they weren't open before? No, but when he tasted of that, what happened? His eyes were open. And what did the church do? Anybody who eats this honey, kill him. That's what Saul said, wasn't it? I don't want anybody eating nothing here. Anybody eats anything here, kill them. I want them to wait till some glad day to eat it. But Saul, your own son, See, that's what religion will do. That's what all these other things will do. They will try to keep you from eating this that is freely given. You know, Paul, we were talking about this Wednesday, Paul would bring them up to a point and he'd say, you know what, guys, I can tell you all about it, but I can't go no farther. But my prayer for you is that the eyes of your understanding, that God would open up your eyes to see. And listen, guys, this is not me trying to get God to move so that he'll do something, so that I can wake him up. See, I'm not like Elijah out there. I mean, I can tell these other people, and I do sometimes. I say, you know what? Maybe the God you're serving's asleep. Maybe we need another revival. Maybe he's off asleep somewhere. Maybe you need to cut yourself a little deeper. Maybe you need to cry a little louder. I just say, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. What do you mean answers by fire? My God, that cross was the fire of God. The fiery crucible of God. He answered, Clyde, let him be God. When that cross begins to work in you, it's the putting away of one, but the establishing of the other. The establishing. The establishing. Do you know what established is? You guys ever been on an escalator? You know, one of them dudes, you get one on them steps and they just goes down and moves. And you know how it feels when you get down to the bottom and you step off and you want to get your feet on solid ground? Established. I mean, he uses terms like cornerstone, chief cornerstone. But see, those things become so wordy that they mean nothing. They mean nothing. I mean, Paul, I'm sure, he was on ships, right? And he's going, he's a prisoner. And I'm sure out of that, Paul would make this decree, an anchor to my soul. An anchor to my soul. Now, guys, see, I had to learn. I'm still learning. I had to learn these things because I would always think, well, you know, I always heard these terms. He's an anchor to my soul. Anchor to my soul. What's that mean? No matter what, God's going to help me out. Right? I mean, so in other words, I got to be the center of it. God, you know, he's an anchor to my soul. When I get in a mess, he's going to help me out. Well, I found out sometimes it didn't happen. Sometimes right in the midst of hell, there wasn't no door open. I had to go right through it. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that or not, but I'm just telling you the truth of me. So I had to go back and evaluate, what does it mean he's an anchor to my soul? How can I get comfort in that now? Because I have been right there, and I look at people, and some people are so delusional, they think you're never going to have to go through it. Baloney. B-O-L-O-N-G-A. So how is he an anchor to my soul? My Lord, guys, if you could just see him, just... If you could just see him, let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer. Have you ever heard his voice? Have you ever heard that still, small trumpet? And I can say that because it's still and it's small. And he asked me the question as I'm walking through the house. He asked me, Derek, do you believe me? He asked me that question. Do you believe me? I'm walking through the house. Not even paying attention to the Lord. Nothing. He ain't even on my mind. Jeff, he ain't even on my mind. I ain't thinking about him.
And I'm walking through the house and I hear the trumpet, yet the small still voice, "Do you believe me?" You know, what do you do in a situation like that? Do I jump up in my arrogance and my religious upbringing and say, "Absolutely, Lord, I'm your greatest worshiper of all time. Lord, thou knowest that thou believest thou, and I'm the greatest sinner if you could believe." That's a time, guys, when you're always in the presence, but that's a time you need to be like Job and take both hands and put it over your mouth and say nothing and sit down and be still. You know, people would tell me this about my prayer. Some people have the impression that they say, "Oh, Jim don't believe in prayer. That's baloney." But how about when you pray, shut your mouth and let him speak? He knows what you need before you even know how to ask. Maybe prayer is us being quiet and listening to him. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I believe in prayer. All things established by prayer. Let's get before the Lord and be quiet and let him fill us. He knows, guys. He sat there and he says, "Why are you bringing this stuff to me? I know all about you. Your very hairs of your head are numbered. Now why don't you be quiet and let me speak?" Do we do that? "Oh God, bless me. See, I heard that voice. Do you believe me?" I went and sat down, knowing not to answer. See, there comes a time when you're like Ezekiel, when he'll bring you out to the field and say, "Derek, you see these bones? Can they live?" You know, we want to jump up in our arrogant mind and say, "Lord, them bones can live and all." You know, what did Ezekiel say? "Not going to answer that. Lord, you know." Because he wants to be the answer. He wants you to sit down and say, "Let me show you. Let me show you." As long as you're going to answer, as long as you're going to be the answer, he says, "I'll visit you again. I'll come back again. Don't worry." You know, I was telling the guy the other day, I really believe in my life. The Lord has said on my well since I was 6 years old. My well. I'm going down there drinking, and I'm saying, "Excuse me, sir, you're blocking the place, and I want to get some water out of that well right there." And the Lord said, "Man, if you would just ask me, if you knew the gift and who it is that's speaking to you, you would ask of me." "Excuse me, Lord. Excuse me, Lord, just move over. I would rather drink from this well instead of that one that flowed out from the house of David." See, I thought this was the house of David. There has to be a judgment that says, "No, this well, if you drink of this water, if you drink of this water," why is he holding the Bible up? Because the letter killeth. "You drink from this water, you'll die. You'll have to keep coming back and drink it over and over. But if you'll come to me and drink of me and eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll never thirst again." What do you mean never thirst again? Could it be we don't believe the Lord? That's why he asked, "Derek, do you believe me?" I went and sat down and he began to speak to me and show me some things. He took me to Joshua 10. I've told you this story before. Joshua 10, where he fought in a battle all day and the sun stood still. And he showed me his son in that. Guys, I've never heard anybody preach that other than look at the miracles God does. I just think sometimes the Lord says, "When are y'all going to stop seeing the miracles and see my son? Sure, I can heal you all. I mean, what is that? They just brought multitudes to him and he healed them all." They still didn't see him. They didn't see who it was. 10 lepers come to him. 10 lepers come to him. He healed them all. Only one came back. Only one came back. Paul would say, "You're complete in him. You're complete in him." Do you realize all healing lives in you? the healer lives in you. Listen, guys. It ain't about this natural body living forever. It never will be. But it's the body that we are, Roger. We are part of a bigger body, a spiritual body that Christ fills it all in all. And there's no death in that body. There is no death, nor can be. Christ dieth no more. We are that body, Roger. We are that body of the risen Savior that laid down in that tomb as the Son of Man. My God, there's so many of them today that are going down to that tomb and looking into that tomb and saying, where is the body? Yeah. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Where's he risen? In you. And until you see that, I mean, until you get like Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Oh my God, have you ever seen the Lord high and lifted up? You know, I think of Cindy's daughter. Think about you guys. Think about those that have been here, those that have left, and those who think it's the end of time and the end of the world and Antichrist and all this other stuff. And I say, have you seen the Lord high lifted up? If you could just see him. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. Usually, we think the Lord is building this house, but Paul says, already fitly framed together. But let me tell you something else, and not a sound of an iron tool in this building. Not a sound of an iron tool in this building. Is there? It's the increase of him.
Yes.
Fitly framed together, growth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together. Here it is. For a habitation of God. Do you just let that just sink in a minute? You. God says, I'm going to build me a heaven and dwell in that heaven. Then I go right back to Genesis and I read, and everybody says God's in heaven. He made him a heaven, and that is your blessed soul. Because he says, I made me a place to live in, and the place I made to live in is you. I just read it right here, guys. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God. You are God's habitation. Lord and my God, do you understand that the God that made Jupiter, made the moon, made the frogs, made the oceans, made you to dwell in? Do we get that lacking in that? The only thing, guys, lacking is we don't believe that. What do you mean we don't believe it? They didn't believe when he walked there. He says, to as many as believed, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. He came to his own, knowing what happened. His own received him not. Still yet today, guys, we don't want to receive it. And I'm talking of my own self. I want to receive him when it's convenient. I want him to be the God when I call on, he answers. I don't always want to be the habitation of God because I get busy. I got other things to do. I got other priorities. I want him to be the God of Sunday. Not the God of Tuesday unless I need him. I'll get through the rest of this by myself, God. You just be there when I holler. Paul got a hold of this and he says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Paul said, "Man, I'm a prisoner of the Lord." You know, and we talked about this some of Wednesday night about how the prisoners, Paul was not talking about bound up in shackles and chains and you know, if he does something wrong, God's going to kill him. Paul is brought into the walls of Jerusalem, the walls that stand high, the walls that Nehemiah was building with a trowel in one hand and a sword in another. And at the revelation of Jesus Christ, those walls were erected up in Paul's heart. Paul wasn't permitted to look anywhere else for life. Paul could not go back to the law and say, "Ah, yeah, circumcision, we need to start that again. Ah, yeah, we need to go back. That third commandment, that's a good one. Let's start keeping that. Let's get the people back squared away." Paul was a prisoner. Paul said there's nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that man lives in you. There's nothing else. I can't preach nothing else. I can't tell you nothing else. I can't tell you to do this. I can't tell you to do this. Turn your heart to see Him. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. Every answer to every problem you have is bound up in seeing Him. Every problem. "Well, what about this? I'm dealing with my daughter. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with work. I'm dealing with this." The answer is seeing Jesus. There is no other answer. There is not one. I would be lying to you if I said, "Well, you need to start praying more. We need to start putting the Ten Commandments up. I'm a prisoner. You want to know the answer? I'm going to tell you, you need to see Jesus. You need to hear His voice. There's nothing else, guys. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. Look to Him. Paul said, "Who has bewitched you? Who has diverted your attention to something else?" Paul would call it a perversion. He said, Let me show you right here. This is all in his writing. In Galatians 1 and 4, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." What do you think he's talking about, this present evil world? He ain't talking about the world of drug addiction, or the world of alcoholism, or the world of Walmarts and movies. He's talking about the world of religion. He's talking about the world of Judaism. He's talking about the world that had the oracles of God. God-given oracles given to them to Moses on Mount Sinai, delivered to them the law, the Passover, the Pentecost, the tabernacle, the whole thing. And they would rather hold on to the forms and deny the power thereof instead of grab a hold of the one who's in their midst. They would rather have, and Paul says, that's evil. It's evil. Anything is evil that you reach to outside of Christ. You know, guys, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought this was just about God helping me to be a better person. Did you not think that? Did you not thank God that Jesus died so that you could be a better person, that you could be the best person that He wanted you to be, and that God, you know, that Jesus died so that you could be successful enough? I bought all of that stuff, hook, line, and sinker. I got a tote this big that it would take two strong men to lift, full of CDs, that if I had a backhoe, Roger, I need to take them out and crush them and bury them and hope to God nobody ever listens to them, because it's all full of that stuff. They ain't even worth putting in the garden making tomatoes grow. Because it ain't nothing about Jesus. It's all about me. And until you hear that voice and he says, do you believe me? Until your heart turns to see, it's always going to be about you. And that's why I say it. The time has come. And listen, guys, you're not going to lose anything. Turn it to see Jesus. You'll never lose nothing. You never lose nothing. What do you mean never lose nothing? You never had anything to start with. All you ever had was an illusion that you called yourself, that you called good, and you called righteous, and the whole time it's just been an illusion. You don't lose nothing. It's already been put away. And only he remains. I told you guys I didn't have any notes. I have nothing. I wanted to draw pictures and show you. They don't do no good. Nothing's going to do any good. Until you get it settled in your mind and in your heart. Until you can just say, I don't know this Jim guy. I want to see this man he's talking about. You know, I ask a guy, he's been preaching 50 some years, 75, 76 years old. I said, have you seen Jesus? No, bro, Jim.
Oh, I ain't seen him and you ain't either. But one of these days.
I said, well, you know, I could see Paul whether I'm beside myself. Consider me beside myself. Consider me a fool. Consider me the dumbest, stupidest, lowest, ignorantest person that's ever spoke. What do you got to lose? Go into your closet. Nobody has to know, Roger. You can go out back. You can go in a place and you can say, God, this stupid idiot up there in a white shirt with no hair tells me I can see his side. Can I? You know, I really do want to see. I mean, you know, I was always told it was some glad day, but, you know, can I see him now? And the father said, what do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? Listen, God is no respecter of persons in the fact that, oh, I'm Preacher Jim. I'm the Pastor Jim. You know, I despise that. I despise walking into Walmart later and somebody saying, he must be a preacher. He must be a preacher. Never call me reverend. You will get a fight if you do. I want you to see him. I really and truly want you to. Because I'm telling you what, when you hear his voice, when you're in your living room, and you're walking through the house, and it's 8 o'clock at night, and, you know, you've had a long day at work, and you've been doing this, and you're walking through, and he speaks into your heart. Do you believe me? Guys, I know he speaks. You ask this lady right here, Denise, how many times the Lord has spoken to her? She hears his voice. Do you think that's a makeup thing? Do you think Denise is something special than you? More privileged? Absolutely not. The same God, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth lives in her, lives in me. And when I've heard his voice, Denise, I could hear God saying, I've been speaking to you since you were 6, Clyde. I've sat on your well for 40 years. Ever faithful. 40 years. I've wanted to tell you this. Man, Denise just had to turn a little sooner. Patty had to turn a little sooner. You know, we talk about those things. How the Lord just, he really speaks. Paul said, those idols and those dumb gods you serve, they're dumb. In other words, they don't speak. Not dumb. He said, they don't speak, but I declare to you the unknown God. All of us need that God declared to us. The unknown God, because he's always that in a way that we've never known him. You've not been this way before. You think you've walked the whole land out and you haven't even stepped a foot over here. got it all figured out because we've wandered into wilderness for 40 years. And he says, man, we were talking about this the other day. He said, look, every place the sole of your foot touches, I've already given to you. But here's how you're going to walk it out. In 3 days. Oh. 3 days. What is that? Death, burial, and resurrection. 3 days cross. I want you to take the ark and set the ark out in front of you. We talked about that. 2,000 cubits. Why was it 2,000 cubits? Because it's 2,000 years or dispensations? No. Set that ark out as far as identity. Not as to union. Because to union, we're one. But as to identity, keep him out there and walk. Because when you get too close to him, you ever heard the term familiar spirits? You get too familiar with it. All through Leviticus, all through them, they would say, cast out those that have familiar spirits. Because he's other than. He's other than. But yet we're in union with him that is other than. Do you see what I'm saying? So set the ark out. 2,000 cubits. And when you see the ark, not until then, Derek. You can't walk in this land until you see the ark. Cannot walk in this land until you see the ark. Can't climb. If you do, you're just a blind leading the blind. You fall in a ditch. But he says, when you see the ark, and I'm asking you, have you seen the ark? If you haven't, today is the day. Today is the day to see the ark. Let me tell you something, guys. When you begin to see the ark, when you begin to see the ark, will nothing else matter? Will nothing else matter? When you begin to see the ark, until then, everything will matter. You see what I'm talking about? Everything will matter. Everything will seem important. Do you see the ark? But when you see that ark, you walk in that land. A land that flows with milk and honey. A land I've already given to you. We've been lied to and said it's for someday. Well, maybe that someday is today. That someday is today. That someday is that other day. That eighth day. That eighth day wherein dwells righteousness. Wherein dwells life, and there is no death. Wherein dwells no darkness. No darkness in this new day that we live in. Well, wait a minute. But I see and I feel. When you see the ark. When you see the ark. Listen, guys. I went 30 minutes slower than I wanted to. I don't know how to go about this, guys. I don't know how to be a preacher. I mean, really, I don't know how to be any of this stuff, guys. I just don't. I just want to tell you to go listen. I don't want to get up here and make it sound like I'm some. I use these old words, guys, and I know I ain't got no big vocabulary, and I don't even care. I want you to go and hear his voice. You know, people, they ask for prayer. And I believe in that. But my Lord, I want you to go and hear his voice. I mean, this is so precious. Patty, Holigay, could tell us so many things. But Denise was mentioned the other day about us eating out of the trash. I believe the Lord mentioned to her about us eating out of the trash. Now guys, most of you sitting here, our parents. You cook meals. You put it on the table. How would you feel? You know, I got a pot of stew at the house, a deer meat. Green beans and corn and all that stuff in it. How would I feel if my kids went over to the trash can and started eating trash out of the trash can with my stew sitting there? know we think, I would never do that. Baloney. We've all did it. We've all did it. What do you mean we've all did it? Every time something is more important to the Lord, or more important, and really, that's most of the time for us. We go eat out of the trash can. We go drink dirty water. We go drink nasty stuff. And there he is. There he is. You made a habitation of God. See, this new Christianity has robbed us. What do you mean? Because we went, guys, from hardcore law. We did. And you know, most people left, and most of you guys, we left a law preaching church. We left the old going to burn in hell stuff, didn't we? And we said, God ain't like that. So we come over here, and now we jumped over here, but we're on the same tree. And we said, now anything goes. God loves everything and everybody. Whatever you do is all right. We just went from one branch to the other. It's the same tree. The axe has got to be laid to the root of that tree. This ain't, well, God loves him and God... God loves his son. God's view is of his son, and God's desire is that your soul be filled with his son. Nothing of you. It ain't never been about you anyway. We have been the problem. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And I'm talking about our ego, our identity. Listen, you get a new heart, right? He writes that law in your heart. What about the mind? The mind's got to be renewed. Right? Because our minds come in and cut it off. Our minds go into our heart, who our heart has been new and written on with a new covenant, and our mind says, cover that thing up. Put a veil on that. It does. It puts a veil on that heart and says, you know what? I've been in control 49 years. I'll be darned if I'm giving it up to some stinking new heart down there. I'll call on you, Jesus, if I need you. Other than that, I'm in control right here. Carnal mind. So I'm going to keep running this boat. See what I mean? This has got to go. This has got to go. This is the old ego that says, I don't need nobody. I can do it all on my own. I've got my own name. You know, just like them women. Just like them women, you know, we'll just give us a garment. You know, but we're going to do it our own way. In Isaiah, you know, we're going to do it our own way. You know, we'll use your name, but we'll just do our own thing. Guys, this is serious. We're so serious. Maybe next week I'll get back to getting some notes. And I just wanted to share this with you guys. He's an anchor, but is he your anchor? I mean, really, he's an anchor, but is he your anchor?
You're his beloved son in whom he is well pleased.
I mean, we got to see. We got to see. Christ is not veiled. He is not veiled. He's not hidden anymore. It was a mystery. Paul said it was a mystery hidden through ages. But now, it's made manifest to his saints. Paul wrote that. And you know what happened, guys? After the apostles died and were killed, the church went into the dark ages and they don't believe. But he's not covered. You can't cover him. Our hearts have been covered. The veil is upon the heart. We covered that new heart up. We've covered it up with our own self. And he says, if it will turn. He's talking to the heart. If it will turn, because the veil, Christ is no longer veiled. He is there. You know, guys, I want Christ to be formed in you. I want him to be formed in me. I want him to be formed in all who hear our voice. We put it out. We cast our nets out on the internet and Monday nights and Wednesday nights and Sundays, and we put our videos out there, and we do all of this. This ain't very popular. It's not very popular. Not many people want anything to do with Jesus. They didn't then, and they don't now. Other than, we want what you bought for us, Jesus. We want what you bought for us, Jesus. You know, I heard a guy had 30,000 people this morning, and he said, pray after me, and 30,000 of them spoke in the same line. Jesus, we want what you bought and paid for. That's a quote. We want what you bought and paid for. Give it to us. We claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think any of them wanted Jesus? No, they wanted their money. They wanted their big houses. They wanted, oh, but now we can get righteous with it. They wanted their peace. Oh, Jesus, give me peace. He is your peace. He is your peace. You'll never know peace without knowing Him. You can't, because He is peace. And let me tell you what, peace is not the absence of turmoil. It's never about that. We want peace all around, and we think peace is who He is. Well, Jesus, just give me life. It's who He is. I want resurrection. It's who He is. I want righteousness. It's who He is. Patty said something. You know, we sing songs about worship. If you want to worship, the only thing you have to worship with is the increase of Christ. It's never the increase of you. And you're giving back to the Father what He's already given you. That's what He said to Abraham was, and take now thine son, thine only son. Not the son you produced. Nothing you produced. As a matter of fact, He's not even a son. Ishmael's not even anything. As a matter of fact, him and his mother's got to go. But now you take thy son, thine only son, and go to that mountain that I tell you, and worship in 3 days. 3 days. Do you see? That's what worship is, guys. Worship is the increase of Christ. Never about me getting serious. It's the increase of Christ. That's all it is, guys. That's all it is. And I know, I mean, when Patty sees that, she's like me. You want to just scream it out, and you want to jump, and you want to... We can only go so far, Patty. And then everything that we do becomes a prayer, Donna Clyde. You can't go over there to your brothers and show them. We can't give sight to the blind. We cannot. We can only come up to the certain point, and we begin to pray and say, Lord God, show my brother. Show him. Let him see the Savior that I'm seeing. Let his son see the Savior that I'm seeing. He thinks he's preaching the gospel, but the God, he's never seen the gospel. The gospel's a man. It ain't about having revivals and getting all these people to jump around. I mean, if you've seen him, the very rocks have cried out. I know I've been a rock. A rock that has been broke to pieces and ground to powder. But it's got a voice that has cried out. And that voice has cried out and it says, here I am, Lord, send me. Because I heard the cry of his heart. The cry of his heart. I see the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. His glory filled the whole earth. And I see him and I'm looking and I'm going, oh my Lord. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I hear the gospel preached. And it touches my lips. And I hear the cry of the Lord. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? I mean, out of the agony of your heart, out of the agony of Isaiah's heart, he said, I can just see him jumping up and down saying, here I am, Lord. Send me. Well, I just want you to know, the people I'm going to send you to, they aren't going to hear a word you say. The people I'm sending you to are stiff-necked people. They aren't going to see nothing. They're not going to hear nothing. And as a matter of fact, the very son that you declare, they're going to crucify. Until you see the Lord high and lifted up. Until the gospel touches your lips, a live coal, a live one, not a dead coal, a live coal from off the altar. Until you hear the Lord say, who will go for us? Don't try this. Don't try it. Because it'll break your heart. It will break your heart. A guy told me one time, he said, preaching will break your heart. Especially when you begin to hear the Lord and see the Lord, it will break your heart. Because you'll be preaching to a bunch of people who won't care. Who'll be more worried about everything else than what time they're going to get out so they can go be at dinner. You got everything else to do? It'll break your heart. Am I telling you the truth, guys? You know I am. You know I am. But see, we've come up and we've said, well, blessed Jesus, He loves everything, and He loves whatever we do, and it's all right. And we go out there and we walk in a realm of death. Not part of it, Clyde, but we walk in it. And when you begin to pay attention to it, you'll sink up in it. Trust me, I know. I know. I can feel. You know what, guys? I know what it's like because I have stepped down in it sometime. Have you ever stepped in it so deep when you pull your foot up, your shoe ain't on? You'll sink up in it. Because these things, Cindy, you know, and Denise and everybody else, you guys know. That stuff is still going on right now. Me preaching about it or against it or for it matters not. It's going to go on. And when you leave here, it's still going to go on. And next week, it's still going to go on. The poor you have with you always. The poor you have with you always. But this woman. This woman. That's who we are. This woman. She brought all that she had. She said, you know what? I know that this stuff is going on. I know there's dinners to go to and bonanzas to go to and all these other things to do. But this is the most precious thing I got. And I'm going to put this on the Lord. There's none of that else. I know the poor. And see, as soon as you begin to do that, as soon as the Lord becomes number one priority, you know what they'll say to you, Cindy? Man, why are you going up there to church when you got other stuff you need to go? You got business you got to take care of. You got other stuff that you got to go do. Why waste your time? Why waste your time going there? This could have been sold for so much. Your time could have been better served and given coats out to the cold. It could have been coats out to the people with no coach, it could have been better served than this and better served than that than just pouring it all out on Him. And He says, you know what? Wherever this gospel is preached, this will be said for a memorial of her. And you know, I just thank God there's been some times that I've just poured it on Him. Just poured it on Him, Patty. Nothing else. Didn't care. Didn't care what the world thought. Didn't care what spilled on the ground. Didn't care about anything else. Just poured it on Him. I didn't mean to take up too much of your time. I promise I didn't. I want to get to where. And I say this, guys, I know I'll probably wear you guys out because most preachers don't come up and preach very long. I don't even claim myself to be a preacher. Probably just run off the mouth too much. But I think, you know, I've been told this 100 times. If I could get things down to under 30 minutes, I'd get more crowd and get more people in. And, you know, and I wonder sometimes, you know, if I do this, would more people come? Maybe some people would turn their heart to see. You know, I don't know. I really don't know, guys. I mean, my heart breaks for people. I don't know. I mean, if I thought, hey, if I get up and just speak for a minute, would people come back? Would they? I've got something, you know, I don't know, guys. I really don't know. I don't mean to wear people out. Just a passion of my heart, Patty. I don't know what to do with it. I'm not some elegant. I mean, I'm about as dumb as a box of pencils. I can't help it. It's just who I am. I want people to turn to hear His voice. You know, people, they get their mindset of what church is. Go get dressed up. Cook it up Sunday morning. go out there and act like you're somebody. Hey, I'm going to church. Heck with that. Makes me sick, Roger. Makes me sick. If Paul knew what the church had become, he'd come into every one of them. Like the Lord going into the temple, running them all out. Money changers and doves and everything else that it's become. My God, he said, don't you know you have become a habitation of God? Think about this. You have become a habitation of God? Not a visitation? Not a stinking revival? Not another this or another that? You, a habitation of the living God? God doesn't dwell in the rocks. He doesn't dwell in the mountains. He doesn't dwell on planet heaven somewhere. He dwells in you, His church, who is the fullness of Him who fills all and in all. My God, walk in the light of that. What else is there? I wish that we could go get them, as Clyde said earlier. I wish we could go get them all and bring them into this revelation, but we can't. We cannot. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. And I'll just leave you with this, and I'll get out of the way. Have you heard His voice? Have you heard His voice? Have you heard that sweet voice? Because let me tell you, His voice has went out from the beginning. And His voice is echoing. And His voice is saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is Him. He lives in you. Man, Patty, there's nothing else. There is nothing else.